Yo, how you guys doing tonight? You know, the people at home won't know this, but we're actually a week behind on this episode.
What?
Yeah, it really threw me through a loop because I thought you guys recorded last week.
Well, we tried to, but, you know, things happen.
You know, shit hit the fan. And so, like, I was looking at, like, this, you know, like, where we, you know, list where what episodes we were recording. I was like, wait a minute. These are the ones right after where I left off. Is this right?
I've already watched these.
Devin's like, I'm not behind?
No, I didn't watch. Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't
watch
them.
There's definitely no way Devin had watched them.
Oh, you still? Oh, so you didn't even watch this set before this recording?
What?
As in, you were still not current as of today?
He was going to be absent last week, and he knew that, so he didn't watch then. He watched today.
You know, on weeks where I'm absent, I still watch the episodes, Devin.
Well, look at you, Mr.
Very diligent.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant roast. I appreciate you. Thank you. I feel my place has been perfectly kept. Thank you.
You know, I'm pretty sure this is a lie. This is a bold-faced lie out of Brendan anyway, because I remember all those times when he was on hiatus for like a month and he'd be like, man, watching 15 episodes in one to two days is crazy, guys.
I remember.
What do you mean? Like,
there's like a couple of times when I'm like out on work trips and I don't have the time. But if I like life and I'm not away from home causes me issue, I still watch the episodes.
Well, you didn't say that.
Well, I
you
guess
just
I
wholesale were like, I do it every time. I'm such a good noodle.
I mean, I am a good noodle is all I'm saying. I'm a pretty damn good noodle. Nope, no one agrees with me.
I'm mostly noodle, trying to imagine your noodle like form, you just wiggling about.
Dente.
Al dente.
So we watched One Piece this week, or some of us did.
Yeah, we watched some One Piece this week.
Actually, you know what? No, I didn't watch One Piece this week. I watched One Piece last week.
I watched One Piece.
I watched One Piece last week.
You know what we need? Because all of us watched this last week. Actually, this is a good thing, Devin. You need to lead the discussion. You're the only one with these episodes fresh in the memory.
Nah, mm-hmm. Fuck.
Oh, this is going to be great. I love this.
Ah, fuck.
See, this is a good thing. This is good for our growth as like as a podcast, and as a group, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know?
I can
so Devin, please, why don't you read the summary for us this week and lead us?
This week on Run Piece, we go undercover in the Dressrosa Smile Factory to reveal a massive amount of OSHA violations. The Tentadas are clearly not paid on time, not being given their mandatory lunch breaks, and there is no sign of any human resources department to address these concerns. So our small friends rightfully start a riot and make their way towards the front door. Tragically, before they can pry it open, their general manager, Kuween, arrives with an industrial strength vacuum cleaner to round them up. But just when all seemed bleak, Frankie busts through the door for the save. After swooning Kuween in the most dated way possible, he turns back to Senior Pink The two roll up their sleeves and start taking their fight seriously. Elsewhere, we have Zoro continuing to taunt Pika and display a difference in skill. We also have Luffy and Co. battling the unstoppable Nutcrackers, who are revealed by the recent creations of Sugar, who has woken back up with a fear of anything long-nosed shaped. Having heard this, Usopp prepares a special ammunition set to take out Sugar once more. With the help of Viola's powers, Usopp is about to land the sickest 360 no-scope drop shot. He has to do all this before the Broom Patrol Club. God damn it.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no. you are just
I was
happening.
Not prepared to read this.
What? This is just this is a norm. These are normal sentences. You are the only abnormality in this equation.
He also has to do all of this before the Broom Patrol climb up the plateau and capture him, thanks to the help of Conjuro's ladder. We also have Luffy and Co. meeting up with Robin and Barto, who tell him to meet Rebecca at the flower field to get Law's key. While they fend off Gladius, finally we learn that Princess Manchuri is being held captive behind a chapel in the palace, a place very special to Viola and Tatatas.
Fuck!
God, it took I felt like eight years.
I feel like we need to put you in a class about punctuation. I think that would solve a lot of what happened here.
I'm not the one that wrote that.
No, you are the one that don't know how to read that.
Yeah, because I have a reading and writing disability.
I know.
Which is,
this is
why
not,
I suggest.
This is way, I don't know what's wrong with you, but this is way worse than you've ever done. This is an exemplarily bad performance out of you.
I wasn't prepared.
You're never prepared.
I was reading it wrong.
My guy, there are commas and periods. Use them. Like live them. Breathe them in. You just roll into every word like you're fucking Stephen Hawking. Nut, 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 nut.
You gotta stop.
Yeah, the people at home are not gonna get that one.
Oh my god.
You know, I'm you know, we got through the summary, but Devin, I don't think I want you to lead.
Really? You don't say.
Well, hold on. Maybe his talking skills are still like normal talking skills when he's not reading. All right, well,
they're fucking shot.
I have a sneaky suspicion that we might have short-circuited the
man. You still hung over from St. Patrick's Day? Is that what's happened here? Your brain still fried?
Yeah.
He hasn't regrown all those brain cells that died in the
yeah.
Which is funny because I didn't like drink or anything. Just went to a party.
I may not be Irish, but I feel like you're fucking up St. Patrick's Day. That's all I'm saying.
What the hell? I didn't do anything for St. Patrick's Day, and it was great.
All I'm saying is, from my observations throughout life, if you're celebrating St. Patrick's Day, you are drinking yourself into a coma. That's all I'm saying.
Right. Or, you know, for people that, you know, don't drink themselves into a fucking stupor every week, they just, you know, hang out with some friends.
That just seems like culturally incorrect from my observations. I'm not Irish. I have no stake in here.
Incorrect.
Are you trying to culture splain my culture, Justin? Excuse you?
I feel like you should agree with me because you did it properly, you know? You should be telling Brett you did it wrong.
Well, no, because
there's
a
wrong way.
We clearly did the same thing. You're the only one telling us we did it wrong.
Well, you just said you weren't drinking.
On the stereotypes,
unless I misunderstood that.
Caucus people. Man, aren't you supposed to be getting drunk right now?
So anyway, we did watch One Piece this week. You know, the fucking what was the first thing that happened? I don't even remember. I'm in a daze.
Are you also hungover from St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, I think everyone's just lost their mind, and we go a week without recording, and everyone forgets how this shit fucking runs.
Nah, pretty much. I mean, honestly, this is why we need to be consistent. If we break consistency, and then everything falls apart.
Uh-huh, correct. Uh-huh. I am a creature of a habit, and my habits fall apart in seconds.
Justin, why don't you tell me what did Zoro do to Pika? Was it even cool, or was it just like a waste of our fucking time?
It was very funny. I remember that because I was watching it last night with my cousin. Sorry, Justin, I'm cutting you off.
No, yo, you keep going. I'm readying up. I'm next at bat.
He's readying up. He clicked the ready checkbox.
He's warming the engine.
You're still picking your champion, but you're listing your options.
I've already hit ready and queue. You're sitting there like figuring out all of the stats. Anyways, we're like, when I watch Zoro cut Pika like in the gigantic form and like he just lets out that little shriek, I was streaming it, watching it with my cousin online, and we both just fucking lost it at the shrill shriek that he releases.
Keck.
And it wasn't like super cool. It was just Zoro doing Zoro.
Whoa, hold stuff. On. Hold the phone. Hold the phone.
Oh, we have a dissenting opinion.
It was meh as fuck. It was no different than anything he's ever done ever.
Okay, was it unique? No.
Yeah,
was
yeah,
it
lay
cool?
It on him, Justin, or lay it on him.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. I legit learned the name of this fucking move because that's how much I love this shit. Because it
it's
sounds
just
so good.
Cool. It's another pound.
Yeah, get him, Devin.
He
get
adds
him.
More pounds.
Sen Hachiju. Pandoha. That sounds so
congratulations.
Good.
You said it in Japanese. It's pounds. It's adding more weight to the punch. It's
he's
the
out of 10
shit.
Or not 10,000. He's out of 1,000. He's 900.
He's already done 1,000.
Listen, man, I just understand.
He's
you can't appreciate this.
Times. names. It's just the Phoenix with more pounds.
But it sounds so good when he says American. It. It sounds so good when he says it. It satisfies my ears, man.
I think this is copium happening because you just haven't heard it in so long.
That is
so
very plausible.
What actually happened? Because I feel like we're just arguing over sounds right now. So what essentially happened?
The Fortnite kids are jumping over and Pika's gonna like, haha, I'm gonna stop you. And Zoro goes, haha, no, slice, extra pounds. And then Pika goes, ouch. And they make it past. That is the core events of what happened.
Okay, now right? Now Justin, tell me what happened.
Do you have any idea Fortnite how little that narrowed it down?
So, right, so we have Barto, Rebecca, and Robin.
They're falling with style toward the plateau they were trying to aim for, but they're slowly descending into Pika's path. Pika makes notice of them, goes to take his massive giant fist and punch at them. Zoro says, I'm not having any of that shit. Cuts the fist into like four quarters, but also slices Pika's real body in the process. And so his friends are now happily moving along their merry way to their next stage. And Zoro is just honestly teabagging Pika, like emotionally. He's just taunting the shit out of him. I'm just like, you know what? I like this. This is fun. This is entertaining. Just put him out of his misery, please.
Zoro's smug as shit the whole time, too.
Oh, yeah, he is. I feel like the whole time, like, you could, like, sum up, like, Zoro's mood is the smite, you know, like, ping of you rock, cancel that.
Okay.
Devin making the smite reference?
What year is it?
More like, who is this guy? Justin understands.
I go here. I watch the episodes. Don't worry about me. Worry about the audience. You know, the people you know who don't play
about the, you know what's funny about the you rock cancel that fucking meme? Because he's fighting in a real fucking rock.
Right. Makes stupid? It even better.
God damn it.
God damn it. This meme's got layers, actually. Almost as many layers as Pika's bricks. Ayo. I'm just kidding.
All right. All right. Somebody take away Brendan's speaking stick.
What the hell, man?
That soundbite didn't even make sense.
What do you mean? It's like layers.
No,
like ogres have
about
layers.
Devin, who used a soundboard.
Oh, did he do the
more you know soundbite.
I was like, I did hear that, and I didn't know if that was just me or my my autism picking it again.
It just played in my head. I wasn't sure if I was just hearing things again or not.
I mean, it happens all the time. My schizophrenia is like, honestly.
Yeah, but usually it's musical numbers, not
well, that was musical, to be fair. That
not
was
what
musical.
I mean, but sure.
Everything's a musical if you believe hard enough. Yeah,
Brendan doesn't actually hear our normal voices. We're actually talking in song.
I've been falsetto the entire time.
No, yeah. No, you guys are all in a new hip hop musical that I've been trying to work into in the big leagues for years. The problem is that I can never get the beats right.
Is it West Side Story?
No, it is. It is not West Side Story.
Are we snapping at you?
You are not snapping at me. God, if I couldn't even imagine, my life would be a fucking living hell if you guys were snapping at me all the time.
What I really want to know here about the scene of the three Fortnite kids drifting down is who ended up pulling Barto's pants back up?
That's what I want to know, dude.
I don't know.
There's only one candidate.
I'm kind of just imagining, like, he literally just, like, pulled, like, the Olympian, like, lift himself up and, like, to the point where like his legs were above his head and just let him jiggle down.
Just like, but the beetle, his feet would have gone into the beetles.
The T-pose like style, like the really hard one. We don't know his physical capabilities. We just know he knows how to throw a wall.
Is there a tentata with him or not?
Yes, Leo.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, then it had to be Leo.
He's the one candidate.
Hold on. I like to believe that Barto is physically coordinated enough to shimmy his pants back up by any means necessary. I don't know,
like he looks like he's got some good core strength. He could probably, like, you know, bend his legs in the air, spread his little things like off to the side or whatever, and then be like in an inverse like T pose or whatever. I believe that he could do that.
That's my headcanon. He shimmied his pants back up.
He could have swung it too. Like he could have just, like, you know, couple kicks and done like a 360.
I feel like this is a Leo situation. In fact, I bet you that he even was like, I'm gonna level with you, Barto. I never want to see that again. I'm gonna sew this shit shut right now.
He sewed his trousers to his waist.
And then Bardo's like, what the I need that down. The people need to see this.
If I can't put my pants,
you stitch it to my skin.
If I can't put my pants down, I'll turn from the cannibal to the fucking bedwetter. I need to be able to pee,
man. Do you
have
any idea how much of my identity you've just taken from me within a single swoop?
Half of my MO is pissing in public. Come on, dude.
I pissed them off. I pissed them on. It's a whole thing. and then fucking Leo's in the back. He's just like, I don't care, dude. Like, this is too much.
Not much really happened between Zoro and Pika. It's just Zoro styling on him for the most part.
Nice,
other things
nice,
happening
that
after that is the Fortnite kids.
Yo, Sugar! Sugar's back.
Sugar's back. What do you mean
do we hate this? Why do we hate this?
Okay, let me rephrase.
Uh-huh.
I'm just numb to it.
We're numb to it. I still don't know if I follow just yet. Did we? So we needed Sugar to stay down. Is that what we're saying? Okay, we wanted Sugar to stay down.
Well, absolutely.
Because let's be real with what's going on with Sugar and the Nutcrackers. This is just more buffer time.
Well, hold on. I feel like that sets a bad precedent. Okay, is it more buffer time for Luffy and Co.? Perhaps, mayhaps. I somewhat agree.
It is 100% more buffer time because now we have a whole ass new character who we're following and a whole ass new character we haven't heard about. We have heard about, but it's now being brought up immensely now.
Well, hold on.
To focus on while they're busy punching rebuilding robots.
Listen, all I'm saying is they're now reopening the book between Usopp v. Sugar. Usopp's like, wait a minute, that bitch is back? Hold the phone.
The coolest part about that is the fact that we now get to see Chris Kyle Usopp, like, you know, get a headshot from 2,000 kilometers away.
Chris Kyle Usopp.
Like, that's what they're setting up for. He even has a spotter. Like, I get it. He's a sniper.
Can you imagine
the
that?
Core,
go ahead. Sorry.
The core of this is literally just like, okay, we're going to like cut off some loose ends, introduce a new character who can't stop literally anything, and focus entirely on this random, well, not random, but, you know, complete side Princess Tantata. And that's all it is. And it's buying time to settle that down before Luffy goes and punches Doflamingo.
Well, okay.
That's all it is.
I don't know what the Princess Tantata part has to do with all this, because Sugar has
Princess
nothing to
Meshuri.
Do with her.
Yeah, she does.
No, she doesn't.
No, what I'm saying is that because of this buffer, because we have this quote unquote Luffy's being slowed down, it gives the writing team time to show other shit happening.
Yeah, well, this is always part of the plan. So they have to make sure they don't forget about the plan that they had established before. So I guess you're right.
But like, I mean, they also established Manchuri like a long time ago. Like, she is like a new plot element. Like, the fact that she's not with the rest of them is a new plot element. But like, the idea of like saving and protecting her is not new to us as of these episodes.
No, that, yeah, I know that's not new. What I'm saying is that the fact that what's her face, Sugar's back, is literally just like a plot device to make so that they could go.
He's just saying that it's an opportunity to create more filler for the anime. Yeah. That's all he's saying. Yes. He's just complaining that it's more filler stuff. Before
I don't
we
know
get
about
to
this,
plot.
This filler take. It's filler if like you don't do anything with it, but they're literally giving you an opportunity to give Chris Kyle Usopp. That's fun. That's awesome. That's at least fun.
This makes me want to ask, how do you like, okay, so he's prepping some type of shot, right? What's he cooking?
That's what I want to know my boy's cooking, is all I'm saying. Because he had the first 1v1. Well, it was really 1v2, by the way, and he fucking won, by the way. He had his 1v1 against her, and his gag was just basically scaring her to death. Well, not to death, but to pass out or whatever. Now he's actually he's cracking his knuckles.
Did we watch the same shit? Because this is some copium I'm hearing you huff.
What are you talking about?
That's not how it went down at all.
That's exactly how it went down.
What are you talking about? The first 1v1 they had, he scared her literally to passing out.
No, but you're saying that that was his plan all along.
Listen, I'm no, not. It wasn't. Just fuck with that. We're not here to
You were like, oh, he went out and won that. No, he didn't. He got his ass smoked.
He absolutely won it. Anyway, moving on.
He got smoked, and then he half-assed, bumble-fucked his way into a W.
Okay, so, okay, but anyway.
But narrator Kun said Usopp was the winner, and narrator Kun is never wrong. So that's
all I'm saying. Usopp's the winner. Now we have a new moment where we got Usopp knuckle cracks. Time for him to spread his wings and do what he came here to do, and that's be the best sharpshooter on the fucking Straw Hat Pirates. Anyway, so now we got, you know what's going to happen? He's going to win round 2-2, baby, because that's our boy. That's what we come to know and love about our number one sniper, our god.
Do we have a full picture yet of exactly the shot he's taking? Like, we understand he's shooting from like the plateau to the palace, but like, do we have like the full picture of that? Like, because I know what the scene looks like, I don't want to like say too much.
He's got to go through like several walls of stone and stuff. Sugar's not just standing by a window waiting to get headshot. Here. She's through any number of walls of concrete and stone. And wood. So we're just relying here on what's her fit, Viola, with the clairvoyance to be like, all right, Sugar's right here. And so this is what you got to aim at. So clearly, Usopp's got to have some
sniper
kind of
elite where you have the little ping above the target and you're waiting for the target to walk by a window.
But
and
the
they
point
go
is,
shoot it now.
Usopp's got to have some kind of bunker buster going on situation going on here, because otherwise, you know, up to this point, his standard issue ammo, even the ones with the plants and stuff, they don't have wall penetrating capabilities, so that we've seen. So he's got to have something else that is going to either just explode real good.
I don't know. I saw Madam Web the other day, and well, there's some fireworks out there that can blow through walls.
Well, that's your fault. You shouldn't have been watching a shitty ass movie.
Hold on, just for Justin.
I will say, this is an absolutely unnecessary tangent, but I'm here to make it anyway. Madam Web is a garbage movie, first and foremost. But secondly,
it's a really bad movie.
But secondly,
it's really bad. I joined in an hour late, and I still was like, this is really dog shit.
The funniest part is that literally 1 hour of the movie doesn't matter. It just replays itself for you in the second half. Anyway, the second point I'm trying to make here is this movie will go down or rise up, actually, in the future at some point as a cult classic. Because it is so unbelievably bad that I think it's genuinely funny, because nothing about that movie seems human. It is.
I think I have to disagree with you, man. It is not funny bad. It's just bad.
It was pretty funny bad.
I don't think it was funny bad.
I think you should genuinely rewatch it with friends. Remove any expectation that it'll ever be good. You already know that. It's never going to be good. But watch it again and just see all the things that are bad about it and just recognize the literal lack of humanity. Like, no one speaks in normal human speech. No one sounds human. No
are
one
we
makes human
facial
expressions.
This movie was made entirely by AI at some
that
point.
That is what I'm saying,
we
man.
We actually had a full-ass conversation saying this sounds like some AI scripted dog shit.
I think humans made the script, but there was just no chemistry with the characters. Hey, why are we talking about Madam Web? Can we get the fuck off Madam Web?
Because rockets go through walls.
Yeah, fireworks go through walls, man.
That's how Usopp is going to no-scope. Sugar is with an explosive star that is able to burst through a fucking wall, because why the fuck not?
Uh-huh. I personally would like to believe...
You were huffing the paint earlier, and that's what I'm huffing right now.
I would personally like to believe that Usopp just has like a crazy arc shot where he's just going to shoot that shit up into the air and it's going to fall down perfectly. He's not going to shoot through the wall. He's going to shoot over it.
But he still has to go through several layers.
Like, it's still like, it's got to go. Then it has to go through the roof and any of the wood and stone.
Yeah. Or like, you know, just, I think he just got the perfect angle, bro. He's just got the perfect arch. He knows what he's doing.
He just has to bank it.
He knows what he's doing. Does he know what he's doing? Yeah, he definitely knows what he's doing.
He's
Why
got
are you doubting the man Usopp? Who are you? You're not Brendan. Who are you?
Listen, like, I believe God, Usopp, right now, man. Sometimes the mask cracks and some of the reality seeps through.
there are two wolves inside of you. One that loves Usopp and believes everything he can do.
What is the Sniper King mask? And what is the Usopp behind it?
Oh, man. Jesus Christ.
I'm just saying I believe in my boy. He's gonna 100% nail
this.
Do you
believe him?
Zero
I don't know.
Problem.
I sense a lot of doubt from you, man.
Listen, there was like a split second of doubt. All right, fucking don't dwell on it, okay?
So while we're talking about Sugar a little bit, so Sugar is the reason these Nutcracker things exist, as Luffy and his homies are desperately trying to fight them off, but they're seemingly indestructible. What I'm curious about is Luffy is like straight up punching holes through these things. And I want to know, like, what, who like, the people, or, like, where did the toys come from? And I'm saying this really poorly, but, like...
Well, we know where the toys are coming from.
Sorry, what I'm trying to say is, like, because in my head, like, let's say it's, like, a person, or it's a fucking elephant for whatever reason. I'm thinking to myself, like, yo, like, that just... Because in my head, I'm like, yo, imagine you're just a person, and you're like, wow, there's a fucking hole in my chest. But, like, because Sugar says you gotta keep going, you just keep going. I don't know, like, it blows my mind.
Well,
you just
don't feel anything. You're a toy with no actual insides or organs to get damaged. They're just metal shells.
If Soldier can't feel the fucking rain on his skin and crying, then he can't, or the warmth, they can't feel that shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, they have no feeling whatsoever. They simply move and know things. Well, maybe not that even.
I am a toy of many things. I drink.
What is
this? I was just saying, are we Game of Thronesing now? Like, what? How many references to other things can we cram into this episode?
I don't know, man. This is just my normal manner.
I can
pull
a Helldivers and say Usopp's gonna.
No, we don't need Helldivers.
Right down. Why did down?
I'm drawing
Sugar.
A line.
Yeah, thank you. We no more lines. All right, you know, if you bring attention to the memes, then of course we're gonna start devolving into worse memes. All right, just fucking let them happen. But yeah, no, I think I'm pretty sure we just know that the toys they simply have no feeling, my guy. They just move. They exist. You know, they do whatever Sugar says
to serve their Del Quixote's Doflamingo family. Oh my god!
Yeah, but they don't get to actually say the "Oh my god" part because they don't have any of that.
I don't even think they say the first part. She just goes kill things, and they go.
And they turn around and kill things.
Well, they have an internal monologue
internally and screaming, "Fuck!" Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Fucking kill me, end me, please.
Exactly.
Good shit. Yeah, so the Nutcrackers are they're there at least, I guess. They're
how do you feel
there.
About Gladius?
How do we feel about Gladius? Do we have an opinion on Gladius? I mean, he's just.
You mean Sonic the Hedgehog? I can't wait for you know.
I prefer prototype Bakugo
him.
From My Hero Academia.
He is basically Bakugo.
Kinda,
actually.
Yeah.
He's got like the same hair and everything. Like he literally does fucking bombs for rocket boosting kind of thing. Kind of cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I will say something that I find funny is that he's literally just the explode fruit guy, number five mm-hmm. or whatever from mm-hmm. the Alabasta arc, but better.
Is he better?
With a way better kit.
But he doesn't use his boogers.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I feel like the booger part was innovative. I kind of like the secret tech.
I'm not saying it's not innovative.
Nope.
But
no, that's not innovative. Justin, what the fuck is that take?
I do think the booger bit was like a fun idea and it gave him projectiles, but then this guy exists and he can just like, I don't know, I guess I shouldn't say he can make projectiles. He's just smarter.
He makes projectiles. He literally shot buckshot at, you know, Robin and Rooster, Bart.
Didn't he just explode something else
him
to
Rooster
do that?
Too.
Like, how did he do that shot again? I don't remember. Didn't he just explode?
Honestly, they never really showed or, you know. Like,
I'm pretty sure he, like, threw some pebbles, but he, like, inflated them to blow up or whatever. And
yeah,
Bart
yeah,
just
that
got
sounds right. So he can make, like, shrapnel grenades, which are pretty scary, actually. Shrapnel is very, very scary, very dangerous.
Okay, but have you ever seen a weaponized booger before? I think that's cool. That's all I'm saying.
Listen, we don't need to talk about Mr. Five
it's
too
very
much.
One Piece.
You brought him up!
you're the one who keeps going back to him. We've left him
cool.
behind.
And I'm trying to
leave him alone. He's gone. He's never coming back.
Look, hold on. You don't know that. You don't
Listen,
know that. You know
him. One time to bring him back would have been Impel Down, and he was nowhere to be seen.
If we're talking about the live action, he's dead now.
Yeah, he's dead.
No, it's not live
that
action.
That wasn't five. No, that was eight, I think. That was their version of 8.
Oh,
I think so.
You sure?
I think
which one was 8?
Or 7 or something like that. I'm pretty sure the equivalent of the live action guy that they killed in like the whatever episode was the frog motherfucker from the Alabasta climax when like the bomb was in the clock tower or whatever. You know,
it's a frog.
I choose to believe it's 5.
I don't think it was 5. I'm pretty sure it was like 7 or 8 or some shit.
Yeah, but I'm going to say it is.
I'm going to look this shit up. You know, if somebody else talk, I'm going to fucking look the receipts really quick.
Voldemort is dead. Anyways, moving on.
So Gladys is cool. Great. Glad we got that out of the way.
Yeah, he's fine.
Why did Conjuro build a ladder?
Because he thought he was helping.
Yeah. He thought it was helping. Also,
and
ladder's
he found
a strong
out
term.
Those people, you know.
Yeah, it was Mr. Seven, also known as the dude that was in the bomb thing in Alabasta. Just so we're clear. Fuck you.
Yeah, well, my headcanon is 5, so. All right, see, that's good usage of it. See, that one makes sense. That one was good.
I'm getting better.
You need some practice. You've got to warm up.
I also have to, you know, get a more variety.
Also, just like, don't use it again. Moving on. Oh boy, yeah, I'm so glad we have that.
Whoever gave you
a soundboard.
Gonna make
it? It's not even going to make it because the soundboard doesn't
no,
get into
it
Audacity.
Will. It does.
He tested it. Oh boy, I'm so glad.
You know, the worst part about not getting time to rewatch these episodes so I have a fresher memory is that on the sheet here, I wrote Lao Ji versus Don Chinjo might steal the show. And I believe that because that's something I would write.
It literally didn't. It was just like, and then they cut to something completely different.
It has potential. And that's what I believe in. I believe Don Chinjo versus Lao Ji. It's going to be the fight of the century.
Just,
right?
Just for this, I hope we cut back and they are not fighting anymore. Not even that.
Yeah,
not,
it's like two
not even,
completely
not
different
Not even that
people.
One of them won. Just that we pulled like an Impel Down or whatever, or Marine Ford, where they're just fighting one person. And then suddenly the next frame, they're not fighting that person anymore. It's just we've just moved on just for that.
The skirmishes like have transitioned into different people entirely.
What? Yes.
I thought you were going to propose like a friendship arc and I was here for that, but now you're just trying to hurt me, bro. What
no. I, yeah,
Justin,
I just
if it
pain.
Makes you feel better, I
want
to see Lao Ji versus Don Chinjiao.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Speaking of getting hurt, RIP, my boy Farul. My boy got chomped.
Who?
He definitely got chomped.
The horse.
The horse.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
That shit was
Riff
brutal.
Farrell, though. That's true.
Poor Farul. Poor guy.
That was like some of the most gruesome action I've seen in One Piece in a while. I was like, oh my God.
Okay, yeah. Let's not get that carried away. I mean, all he did was
remember
get
when a
on.
Nuke almost killed a bird. I remember that.
Referencing
know,
a 500-episode old event.
We got real close to episode 1 of Attack on Titan. That's all I'm saying, man.
He's kind of right.
I do unironically think there was did this come out before Attack on Titan? Maybe it didn't. It's actually pretty close. I remember when Attack on Titan was like at the peak of its anime popularity. The manga was definitely out by the time these episodes came out. But fuck, was the fucking anime?
I think the anime was out because I was talking to my cousin and he said that that scene came out around like 2015, which is around when Attack on Titan was like starting to boom.
Yeah, I think so.
So
the
anime came out
2013. Really
Dressrosa anime was happening 2014 at earliest, maybe even later than that. This might have been around the same time. There's Oda might have been.
Well, I was going to say they clearly took some inspiration, but I don't want to be a dirty liar if it turns out the timelines don't add up.
But now I want an animation of like the same puppet, like recreating the Attack on Titan Eren mother eating sequence.
Yeah.
Now you just want an anime adaptation of fucking Lies of P. Which
right, anime air date was 2015. When did this chapter come out? Hold on.
All right. Well, Justin finds the receipts. In addition to all of these fuckers and at the plateau or whatever, we got the best parts of the episode, the Smile Factory, of course, where we learn that Frankie has great hearing, by the way. Incredible.
What a thing.
That was the
what
dumbest
a, what a
bit.
Thing they did. I'm going to say I wrote this down because it was I figured we were going to talk about it and it wouldn't make it all the way to the quote section without getting spoken. So I'm just going to recant what was given in the sub.
Binary raccoon.
Frankie ear, which is not to say it's a special mechanism or something. It's just Frankie naturally has good hearing. That's it. He's just got good hearing. He wears earplugs to every metal concert. His eardrums undamaged.
Which is weird because he's the one that should have tinnitus the most from his Kuda bursts and everything.
Well, I was gonna say even less so. Like, isn't all of Frankie supposed to be robot except for his back now, and I guess his brain? Like, isn't literally everything else supposed to be robot? He has artificially good hearing.
Well, yeah, but remember like that time when we saw him at that ice island or whatever, and like the front half of him burned off. His ears were intact, brother. His ears were intact. His ears are on the line. They're on the byline.
Yeah, the ears themselves could be metallic, but the drum itself is probably natural.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying, man. He's got great ear.
This is still a dumbass bit.
I think it's funny. It's great.
It's amazing.
It's not a bit. He's just got good ear.
It's dumb in a funny way. Like, it's a funny dumb. I thought was really dumb was Senor Pink.
So I gotta be honest.
Where did that come from?
What do you mean? He's a hard boiled guy, and he obviously is like.
What does hard boiled mean?
It means it's the male equivalent of being asunder. I think, but like, is it? Like you're.
No, it's definitely not.
No, hold that's on, hold not on. True.
It's the male equivalent of being asunder. Outside of relationship energy, it's just like, I'm too cool to do anything, proceeds to do the thing he said he wouldn't do because he's a softie. That's hard boiled in a nutshell.
But like, why did he care about an old lady?
Because he's
a nice guy.
What part of this do you not understand? He's a hearted guy, but he's a softie on the inside, therefore he does the softie thing.
Okay, hold on. I wanted to get a definition to give to Devin before you said what it was, Brendan. And I googled hard boiled for person and I got a definition, but you know how Google also gives you the like other questions people ask with the thing
boy.
You just said,
what's the definition of sunder, isn't it? It's there, isn't it?
No, worse.
Oh, okay.
No.
The first people also ask is, what does it mean if someone is hard boiled? The second one is, why is Senor Pink so hard boiled?
Well, that's not worse. I mean, that's just better. That's just like
Google.
Just facts.
Google. So many people have had to Google hard boiled because of this show.
Hold on. That's not what the question says. Reread that question, Christian.
It says, well, no, I get that. But like, people had to know what hard boiled means. And then in relation to Senor Pink.
Well, hold on. There are two wolves, Christian. There are those that don't know what hard boiled is. And there are those that recognize what hard boiled is and then go, why is Senor Pink so hard boiled?
No. We're not talking the fucking girls' energy here. This is people going,
this is definitely girls' energy.
No. This is people learning what hard boiled means and going, why the fuck is this Senor Pink?
So what is the definition of hard boiled via Google?
Oh, I mean, if you go by the Merriam-Webster definition of hard-boiled, it says devoid of sentimentality, tough, of relating to, or being a detective story featuring a tough, unsentimental protagonist and a matter-of-fact attitude towards violence, hard-headed or practical. So it's the opposite of what you're saying, Brendan. It's devoid of sentimentality.
Nah, you need fucking Urban Dictionary hard boiled. All right, that's what's going to get you down the right path.
He is a hard boiled egg. That's it. That's all you need to know.
Well, that's the worst thing you could have said.
Well, okay. Justin's
just hungry.
He's a soft boiled egg, but they call him a hard boiled guy.
Urban Dictionary hard boiled, an adjective describing a person that is seemingly unfazed by anything.
Seemingly. That's the key word there, Christian.
So, I think you're grasping at straws.
Scroll down slightly. Someone who has lost all sex appeal and has become totally unappealing to their former mate. What is going on?
I mean, he is wearing that diaper drip. Anyway, moving on.
Watching him do the hard-boiled butt bomb thing was the weirdest transition.
Okay, yeah, diaper bomb.
And then, like, immediately into Frankie, like, going, I need to touch my nipples mode.
I just love that there are a bunch of cats.
It sent me over the edge.
No matter what Senior Pink does, he's always surrounded by you know what.
You're just stop.
No, I don't know. Tell me, Brendan.
I refuse. Anyway,
let's not go down there. I did giggle when the cats also like made hard eyes at him though. That was like, okay, fine.
That was hilarious.
Okay, fine. You got me this time.
All right. So I will say I have a bit of a what do you call it? When I don't want to say something. Thank you. Okay, thank you. That's exactly what I wanted. I have a bit of confession. I was a little glad last week when it was going to be just a me and Justin cast because I was kind of looking forward to you, Christian, not being here. Because once upon a time I told you that not only was the Senior Pink, we love you, Senior Pink bit, never going to die, but they were going to double down on it. Well, these were the episodes where it got double downed on in Frankie and this queen character.
Oh.
This was the double down.
The double down was that Frankie's doing it now?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, so that didn't even phase you. Apparently you were just you're invested now, so you must love the pit.
Well, okay, let's not say invested mm-hmm. isn't what I'm talking about here. I just, was it weird that Frankie just did that? I mean, yeah, it kind of, it doesn't really fit anything Frankie's ever done. He's just sort of like turned into, he's just been watching what Senor Pink has been doing and decided to emulate it, which is not my favorite thing out there.
I half agree, half disagree. I think Frankie has always been a lady killer, all right? Remember Lola? Wait, was Lola?
Yeah,
Lola from Thriller Bark. Listen, he was down to shack it up with Lola out in Thriller Bark, but he was like, listen, babe, I can't be held down by marriage. I got to be out on the open sea.
He did do that. That did happen. But he did it with like a smile as he was combing his hair. It was a little bit more suave than what we had here.
I think he is getting bad examples from Senior Pink. But I think the foundation was already there for Frankie. That's what I'm going
to
say.
I do think there's some argument to be made there. There's some foundation there. But I do think this is a very L scene for Frankie, I think. I think this is a bit of a wild take to take this bit.
What, watching Frankie kiss a random woman for no reason?
Yeah, and then essentially and then, be like, dunk I just on needed her you for to it, shut up, like, lady. Yeah, yeah, dunk on her for it, essentially. Yeah, I'm like, this one doesn't age very well.
Yeah, she goes, take responsibility for me now and marry me. And he's like, what? No. What am I going to
marry because
for?
I kissed you? What are you, a child? Get out of here.
Yeah. They introduce a female character only to use her to turn her into another one of these fawning, you know, lady side girls on the side or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a pretty yikes.
Also,
bit.
she's like giant and everything, but don't they? Isn't she like below 20? Isn't she like 18 or something too?
I have no idea how old she is. Did they give her age?
I don't remember.
I feel like they did.
Her age is 20.
Okay, not as bad as it was in my head. I thought she was like, I thought it was like 17 or 18. I'll be honest.
Okay, yeah, I don't. Let's not do that.
What I can tell you guys about Attack on Titan is that the first chapter released in March 17th of 2010. And so this chapter, the chapter that inspired this episode came out in 2015. I believe I read that correctly.
Hold on. Don't use those words exactly. We don't know hold what on. Inspired what. We're just saying there could have been inspiration.
Sorry. What I meant to say was, so Attack on Titan first released in 2010. This chapter, the chapter used in these episodes came out in 2014. So there is a possibility that for all game Big Chomp Chomped by the Nutcracker could have potentially been inspired by Attack on Titan in episode 1/chapter 1.
I mean,
that's what I'm here to say.
You know, even beyond that, the Nutcrackers do move in very erratic and sort of,
I agree,
Titan like mm-hmm. ways, you know, mm-hmm, where they twitch mm-hmm. and they like they the way they run at them, stuff like that. You know, it's very
when one of them started crawling, it was the most body horror thing I've experienced in a long time.
Sorry.
Can I make fun of the Tentados for a second?
No, make fun of small friends, you can try, do it.
So I find it hilarious when Kuin first captures like a bunch of them with a vacuum, because first thing that went into my brain was suck. But
cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But
also introducing a new female character and having her weapon of choice be a vacuum is a little yikes.
Yeah. But like after seeing them, like where the Tentadas go in the vacuum, how their weakness is now a burlap sack, Meanwhile, they're able to like punch holes into like concrete.
They have blunt force damage. They don't have piercing damage unless you're Leo.
That's a pretty good point. <It's> like, well, I mean.
Like they're we watch these dudes like knock the fuck out of like metal doors and people and shit, but a burlap sack. My God, what are we to do?
What do we ever do?
Well, you know, it's it's like punching a board.
It smells a little bit like farm in here.
It's like punching a board versus punching a pillow. One you can break, the other one just absorbs the blow, obviously.
What if they're like birds and you just like you put them in the dark and they just shut down?
Shut up, Christian.
What?
Fucking stop.
You just put the blanket over their cage. You put them in the burlap sack.
Speaking of the Tentata, I do want to give a shout out to these gags that they were doing where the old guy was like fucking running around looking for Mon Cheri. And like all of them are like reading signs going like, hey, we're not supposed to go that way or go that way. Or like, you know, we got to run on this side of the road. And then
stick to the left.
It all culminates to the last bit where the old guy is looking for the princess is like, I'm Ralph, I do. Princess, and then all the Tentata are like yelling at him as he's about to like run into the door. Wait, old guy, you gotta stop. We're not supposed to go in there. And then the old guy instead of being like, who cares? I'm looking for the princess. He goes, oh no, if only I knew ahead of time. I can't stop. Ah!
Okay, right before that, when there's a bunch of like signs on their way to this closet, they're like running through or whatever. And they're like, God, I wish I could remember this guy's name. Did I write it
down? I'm going to get Usopped.
Mauji.
Yes.
Mauji is the old man who's Manchuri's caretaker or whatever. When Mauji's just running it down to the closet to find her, and all the other Tontatas chasing him are like, Mauji, you got to follow the signs. It says stay to the left. And everyone except him is like falling in line.
He was still looking at Attack on Titan fact, I think.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
I didn't hear you speak about the sign part. I heard about the like end of that scene.
Jeez, man.
I heard the end point. I didn't hear the like on the way part.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Clearly.
The best part is that I sensed
what
it.
You said, but I'm gonna say it again.
Yeah. I felt it. I'm like this man.
Oh, incredible!
For what it's worth, I guess you like clarified it more. If that's even
Devin
what happened.
Said it. Oh, Devin I echoed guess. What you said to before.
Well, neither me or Brett even acknowledged Devin saying it. So, like, did he even really say it?
So anyway, that was a great bit. That was a good bit. I enjoyed that gag. Anyway, the princess wasn't at the factory. And
your
they
princess
found
is in
out,
another castle.
I can't believe I couldn't think of that joke on the fly.
I thought of it immediately.
God fucking damn it. Your princess is not being guarded by Queen. It's in another factory. Anyway, moving on. It's in another castle. And by another castle, it's in the original castle, the only actual castle on the island. And it's in the naughty room or something. What was it
Which
called?
Is yeah. In the back of a church in the naughty room.
Bro, what the fuck?
The naughty room's fucking deep, bro.
Yeah, that too. But I'm like, what the fuck was this king doing? He sent his kid into like the deepest dungeon in the castle with no fucking food for like 24
that
hours.
That was fucking
what
wild. Like just starving yeah. your kid. Like what the fuck, man? What the
As a
hell,
kid
dude?
Who grew up in a very abusive household.
Okay.
Not as crazy. I'm more interested in the fact of what is this church? Like, first off, what religion is it? Two, there's got to be some more importance to this because there's some weird shit going on in this church. I think we're coming up to another bone glyph, baby.
Oh, you wow. think that this is where we get a church going arc?
Yeah.
Do we convert all of the straw hats
well, we
to
do have
Christianity?
God Usopp now.
We do yep. have God Usopp. This well, is where we find the church.
We've seen the Bible in this show. I'm just saying.
What I will tell you is
when
that
when are we gonna get Muhammad?
Dressrosa is clearly inspired by Spain, and the Spaniards are very much influenced by Catholicism. And so, you know, it's on brand.
It is
the
on
aesthetic.
Brand. No, you're not wrong. There's definitely something going on. I like where your head's at. But the naughty room is just a super dungeon Well, not super dungeon, just like a super like in the depths dungeon.
It's just a hole in the wall.
It's literally
just a storage room.
Yeah,
it's just a storage room with a hole in the wall.
I mean, yeah, I love that too. It's got like a little Tontata specific area too.
Well, the king probably added that after Viola and the fucking Tontata were like fucking around as children or whatever.
How many times have they been put in here? What is happening?
That's another question. What is going on? Like, I still say, what the fuck is going on with you, King Riku? This is a little fucking sus. and then poor Rebecca, not Rebecca, Scarlet has to come in and be like, Don't worry, sis. I'll make sure you're fed. I won't let you go hungry. Why the fuck is it your job?
Wild.
Where are your parents?
Fucking wild, man. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Y'all have never been grounded, and it shows.
Devin, stop. Huh? Anyway, moving on. You are nonsense. Anyway.
First of all, you're taking my bit. Second of all, just because we've been through some shit in life does not mean it should be approved of or expressed through media. That's all I'm saying.
You guys haven't been waterboarded by your parents?
Yeah, you guys haven't been starved for 48 hours just because
I've had electricity be banned from me. Like,
I'm pretty sure someone just forgot to pay the Con Ed bill, Devin. I'm sorry to break the news.
No, they went downstairs and said, you're not allowed to walk into a room with lights on unless someone who has the privilege of lights is on there, and you ask them for permission. It was a whole thing. I remember. I have stories.
That's fine, but that's not literally starving out your child. If you said that they told you weren't allowed to drink water for 2 days until you thought about
like
what you did.
It's the same thing of, like, you can't have your dinner unless you behave.
Bro, you don't need electricity to live.
Why are we arguing over this? Can we move on?
Yeah, we should move on. This is nonsense. This is a fucking waste of time. Absolute fucking garbage conversation. Anyway,
what can I say? I'm just doing some filler in the filler.
I don't need you to do filler. In fact, just don't.
We don't need filler. We're at an hour already.
Yeah, we don't need any of that. Anyway. So Sabo and Fujitora are still duking it out.
Sabo was here?
Sabo was here. Yeah, they're still fighting.
I don't remember seeing Sabo in this episode at all.
Very briefly.
Yeah.
I have no memory of this happening.
I think they cut to him for like a second, and then they were like, all right, later. That was it.
I have no memory of Sabo being on screen.
There is a very large chance that I left this bullet in here from weeks past just because I didn't feel like deleting it, because it would just come back eventually. Wow. As long as we know that Sabo is still here holding out the Navy, that's what matters.
Oh,
whether
trust
it's on
me,
screen
I won't
or
forget.
Not. Don't worry, I'll Sabo.
He got the lead pipe, baby.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, I'm not going to do that sound.
Well, I'm just glad that we got to talk about the most important part of these episodes, and that's between Frankie and Senior Pink. Baby, the best fight. The absolute best fight in the entire arc.
It was the only fight, really.
It's the best fight. Well, they're not even done yet. Don't worry. It can only go up from here. Don't worry.
I can't wait for this WrestleMania 22 match to keep going, man. I'm so hyped.
X2 Doubt.
Man, they don't get it. They don't get it, Justin. They'll see. They don't, man. They'll see the light.
I'll keep my mind open to it, but I'm not enthusiastic. I'll just say that.
I'm not enthusiastic.
You're not a fan of people getting German suplex on their necks, bro?
It's just a suplex. It's not a German one. It's just suplexing.
He doesn't know, bro. You know, he doesn't know.
I have a note in my notes for the end of 692 that I think it was... I don't even know what happened anymore, but I wrote, what an end to the episode. Man, Frankie's so cool. What happened at the end of that episode? I don't remember.
I think it was just like,
did Frankie just enter the building? Is that what it was? I think he just got in the front door after sending Pink away.
He pries open the door and he compliments Tontata. He's like, hey, good job, fellas. And then.
Okay.
I love this too.
I stand by my note.
The Tontata, they don't wait to get like confirmation that Frankie's a good guy. Like, they don't wait to see Frankie get vetted by other Tontata. The Tontata in the factory, as soon as the doors open, they're like, holy shit, it's a fucking robot. This is awesome.
Well, at that point, it looks like a toy. And they can just toy.
Counterpoint. It's a fucking robot. This is fucking awesome.
I disagree. I just found that to be kind of funny. Like, it was like the first words out of their mouth were, oh my God, it's a fucking
robot.
Holy
shit, a robot.
And then Tontata, like from inside his suit, come out. They're like, yeah, he's on our side. And then they're like, fuck yeah.
And then they're like, oh shit, friends.
Like, they could have been, he could have been an enemy and they still would have had a great day.
What a dumb
fucking bit.
Honestly, I would have felt the same way.
I mean, if I saw a Terminator like that was planning to kill me, I don't think I'd have that good a day.
Well, he has his actual face on now. If he had the face he had when he blew up Vegapunk's lab,
Arnold,
that's a
good story. Schwarzenegger Terminator came up to me, I would not be shouting for joy. I would be like, oh no, my life is over.
Well, you have
Frankie's
a
better looking dude than the Terminator. That's all I'm saying, you know?
Hold on, hold on. If Brendan ran into Arnold Schwarzenegger coming up to him, I think he'd be like, so how'd you get those gains first?
Listen, and then- listen. If I saw if I met former governor Arnold Schwarzenegger in real life, that's a completely different story. Former the Iceman himself, Mr. Freeze, from the classic Tim Burton Batman movie. But if I saw like legit Arnold Schwarzenegger from the Terminator, I would immediately know something was fucked.
You have a preconceived notion of Terminators equal bad things. They just see a robot and it looks cool.
Well, yeah, but like, I'm just saying, man, like that's
nah, man, you got a particular lens on.
Arnold Schwarzenegger
in
the second one was a good robot.
I would still be scared. I'd be like, I can't trust that you're I can't be sure that you're Terminator 1 Arnold or Terminator 2 Arnold. I can't deal with this.
And this
now
is why you don't get Gundams,
Brendan.
Meeting
actual Arnold Schwarzenegger and being like, oh my God, is that a Terminator? Not, this is an actor. Just, oh my God, he's a Terminator. He's coming to kill me. What did I do in the future?
I mean, honestly, was somebody saying something? I feel like we talked over somebody.
I don't know.
Wow. All I'm saying is that you don't deserve Gundams for this take. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, I don't deserve Gundams for this take? You know, fine. Whatever. I don't fucking care.
No Gunpla for you.
Mm-hmm. That's fine by me.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, are we done? I feel like we covered
it. I think
everything.
I thought there would be a lot more to talk about, and I think there isn't. And you know, honestly, that's great. We can move on.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's really not much. There's a lot of focus on the Frankie and Senor Pink stuff, especially in that like second episode. But otherwise, it's just kind of like a skip around thing. The only thing I will say is at the end of 694, we have Robin, Rebecca, and Barto catching up with Luffy and what's the guy's
Kyros
name?
Kyros. And...
Come on, you don't remember Cabbage?
Cabbage, yeah, Cabbage. We catch up with Cabbage and Law and Kyros. And first of all, actually, before that, there's another usage of a Luffy move I didn't think I'd ever see again because he uses
UFO.
Gum.
What was that move?
That's,
what the fuck was that?
He uses UFO again,
UFO?
Which I never thought I'd see again.
I had this only note in my notes because everything else is a quote. This is literally, I didn't believe it was going to happen. He used the UFO move for the second time.
Yeah.
This is probably the second time and the last time in the entire series this motherfucker uses this move.
When was the first time?
It was in
Punk Hazard.
Oh, was it Punk Hazard? I was going to say Impel Down, but I don't remember.
No, it was Punk Hazard. In Punk Hazard, after they recollected after Luffy took the L from getting suffocated by a... Caesar Clown or whatever. They were all like, all right, it's time for round two. And it was right before Zoro was like, get your shit together. And then Luffy's like, okay. And he does the UFO move. And
oh,
I'm like,
oh, yeah.
What?
Okay. Wow. I can't believe you remember that like scene for scene.
I remember
I know
vividly.
A lot of the scenes.
I remember the bridge.
Don't
I remember Smoker Coon scoffing at him. I remember everything. It's iconic.
Yeah.
My fatal flaw is I know too much of this series.
No, yeah. So that seeing that again, I was like, oh my God, really?
I thought I was going to be the only one that remembered the UFO move.
No, I definitely remembered UFO. I apparently didn't remember correctly where it was from. The other more serious implication here that I'm excited for is that for the first time in a while, we may actually be getting a legitimate Robin fight, potentially, because her and Barto stay behind.
We also saw a return of the body horror of her wings, but not as gross as they were before.
Yeah, they really melt them together this time to tone it down a bit, which is fine. I'd have taken it either way, but...
I'll take anything from Robin ever, actually. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm excited.
On the back,
sweet.
Anyway, Justin.
Oh
any.
Boy, here we go.
Look, he started this. All right,
you didn't have to answer.
I wasn't gonna go. Of course, I'm gonna answer.
What the fuck?
He's gotta set the record straight. He can't let people be up in the air about what his response is going to be.
Yeah.
I can't let that slide. All right, anyway, does anyone have anything else to say? I'm fucking done with this shit.
No.
No.
No, great. Next week is going to be 695 to 697. Moving on to quotes. I have three.
Wow.
Go on.
This first one comes from the man, the myth, the legend, the god himself. After they find out that Sugar came back up in the dub, he goes like, "What? But no one can withstand my Usopp check in the box technique." Stupid. And then when Sugar is awake and talking to her own goons, and for whatever reason they keep showing her phallic things and it's freaking her out, she's like, "Ah, sausages! Get that shit away from me, you idiots!" And my final one is my favorite Lauji quote of the episode, where him and Chin Zhao are arguing about who's older. I think Chin Zhao says, "You know, you young whippersnapper," or something, and then Lauji goes like, "Next to you, I'm practically geriatric. Geriatric with a capital G." fuck it. I love it. Never change. All right, that's it.
Telling you're gonna steal the show, man.
A bit.
There's only like one like word, I don't even remember the whole quote, but I just remember Zoro calling Usopp God Usopp, and that just stuck in my brain.
Hey, God Usopp.
He's a believer, man. He knows he's up. Like,
I just hearing that, I'm just like, huh, that's,
he does believe in God.
Zoro likes to play ball, man. Like, he doesn't care. Like, he's in for the bit.
Nah, man, that's how you know God Usopp is real. He turned the agnostic into a believer.
he turned the atheist into a true believer.
Surely not.
Within a minute.
he was shown a revelation and he was like, "I have seen the light."
God Usopp is really worships it because of irony.
Nah, bro. Mm-hmm. He's a believer. He knows what's up.
Anyone else got quotes?
Me, quotes, nothing particular because I get to write. I just forgot to write shit down. But scenes to focus on. Literally anything with the Tontatas. They are so fucking funny this week. Especially Mauji.
The Tontatas take the W this week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got two quotes. The first of which is the beginning of 693, after Franky enters the building and he lays eyes on Queen, and he asks the Tontatas, Is she the princess? And all of them are like, "No, what do you mean?"
Then, I mean, honestly, it's a fair question.
It's a fair question. The second quote I have is from later in the episode, where Usopp is made privy to Viola's devil fruit power of clairvoyance, and Usopp goes, "Wow, Sanji would kill for your ability."
Ooh. Yeah. Sanji would kill for that.
I'm surprised he didn't want that devil fruit over the invisibility, but I guess he would want the invisibility because then he could physically be there.
Well, we
don't need to discuss the logistics of... or the mechanics.
He was also
of
just infatuated with her. Like, he's not gonna, what is he gonna do? Is he gonna be like, "How dare you have this power that I would totally love to have?" Like, no, he's like, he's too busy hard eyes over like, "Viola, I love you."
Oh, no, but I'm not saying, I don't disagree with that. It's just more of like the going back and remembering how he's like, "If I could have a devil for that," like, conversation, it's like, huh, he had a choice between those two and he chose the other one.
Yeah, maybe this one wasn't in the book.
Maybe it wasn't updated via wiki notes or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's got an old version. Any other quotes there, buddy?
No, that's it. Those are my two.
Cool, great. Golden Ham. Picking back off of what Brendan said. Can we give it to Tontatas?
Nah, I want to give it to Franky.
No, I'm giving it to Franky.
Yeah!
This is respectable. I can give it to Franky.
I'm overlooking the minor kissing queen thing and... choosing to base it off of literally all the rest of it.
I agree. It is
the
one L.
Can we get light bulb nipple, Franky?
Well, that's a conversation you need to have with Jordy to make sure.
Wasn't that the last move that he did when he
was
in senior?
It was, yeah.
Senior Pink goes diaper bomb.
Like, just they're both like, but like it cuts to like a panel frame of like both their faces in the screen doing like their hard boiled egg face look.
Yeah,
dumb fucking gag.
We go from diaper bomb to Franky nipple light show. And I'm like, what's he gonna do with that?
What are you gonna do with that?
How is that an attack?
Y'all haven't heard of flashbangs, clearly.
I guess.
Honestly, yeah. Oh man, that's great. Franky, it is beautiful. Moving on to fan mail. I have taken the liberty of pausing fan mail this week, and instead using this moment to recognize the passing of Akira Toriyama. For those who do not recognize that name, he was the creator of Dragon Ball manga and anime. I wrote a couple things down about him. Akira Toriyama, born in Kyosu, Aichi, Japan in 1955. His most famous work, obviously, is the Dragon Ball franchise. but his first manga series was Dr. Slump, and it was fairly successful. He's also known for his character designs in works for video games like Blue Dragon, Chrono Trigger, and Dragon Quest. He cites Osamu Tezuka's Astro Boy as one of his inspirations for manga in terms of how he got started, as well as Disney's 101 Dalmatians in terms of inspiring him for just fondness with illustration in general. He's also cited as a fan of sci-fi works and kaiju media like the Alien franchise and Ultraman, and he's also an avid fan of Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee's Hong Kong kung fu flicks back in the day. He is survived by his wife Naichi and his children Sasuke and Kika.
He has a kid named Sasuke?
Dude, it's a very common name. Come on.
It's like a normal name in Japan, right? It's not the same as us in the West calling our kids fucking Son Goku because we're fucking weebs, all right?
Yeah, totally agree.
Did his son take his eyes?
Okay, don't.
So that he can make a better anime and unlock
his... This is not a joke. This is not meant to be a haha funny moment. It's supposed to have a moment of recognition for the passing of an icon.
Yeah, this is supposed to be a nice moment to actually recognize an incredible creator that has given countless hours of entertainment and transformative media for a very large chunk of the world, all right? No jokes on that one.
Quite literally. I found out through his passing that Dragon Ball is huge in Mexico, as well as other parts of Latin America. But like in Mexico, it is a cornerstone of their culture for the past like 20 plus years, which I did not know. It's incredible.
South America, his work is so prominent
that he got the Chinese government. And for anyone who's knowledgeable of anything, China and Japan have very strained relationships for many reasons I will go into. But for the fact that a Japanese man's work was so prolific and influential that he got the Chinese government to honor him speaks for itself, let alone any other government around the world, particularly the French. A lot of French politicians, I think President Macron actually has like an autographed thing from Akira Toriyama, and he like, you know, said some kind words about him when they heard about the passing. So yeah, this guy, he was him, all right? Akira Toriyama is him.
He is the goat of the, of the goats. To be perfectly honest. And I think I speak for, I mean, I think most of you guys haven't even been exposed to Dragon Ball in any significant capacity, but I grew up watching that shit like the plague. It was definitely my you know, Brendan's baby starter anime, for lack of a better term. And it genuinely shaped the vast majority of my personality at a young age, and even like what media I want to consume. And, you know, the sort of things that I want to see out of my main characters and storytelling at a very early age. So I appreciate the works of Akira Toriyama to death, and he will be sorely missed for certain.
R.I.P. the goat. Would you like to say anything before I move on?
Nah, I'm good.
I'm good.
I think you guys have said it all.
All right. Then moving on to Patreon shoutouts. Twigo, Taco, and Rin, TTR, thank you very much for being our producers and funding our show here. We cannot do it without you. We are semi-quickly going through your requests for the month. We're halfway there, I think.
Love you, Twigo, Taco, just came out the other day. Oh, did it? Oh, I haven't even listened to it yet.
It came out today, in fact, as of this recording.
Oh, fuck. God damn it. I can't wait to listen to that one. We did Oklahoma.
We watched a musical from 1955 called
55.
Oklahoma.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, baby. It's a oldie and not a goodie.
That's a sneak peek for all you people wondering what his take was.
Listen, it has its charms.
No, it doesn't.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
On a scale
right.
of like that to Madam Web, like how bad are we talking?
Devin, I'm going to tell you one thing about this musical, and you're going to know everything you need to.
Oh no. This is the worst part of the show, by the way.
There's a song where a guy actively sings about another guy to get him to kill himself. To his face. He sings the song to the guy's face, like literally telling him to kill himself.
And then partway through the song, the dude that that's being told like sings along with him, like he does harmonies with him, like, oh yeah, maybe I should.
What? Well, that'd be a beautiful funeral, actually. I think all my friends would show up and they'd really miss me. No, they wouldn't.
What?
What was going on in 1955, bro? What?
It was a very fucked moment for sure. What?
That's it. That's all I'll say.
I don't know if I want to listen to this episode anymore. All right.
Far enough. No, I want to go watch it.
No. This is not propaganda to get you to watch it. Hold on. To our episode. Don't watch the movie.
It is far and above
the most jarring part of the show. It is the outlier. The rest of it is like standard 50s practice. That is the one part of the show that makes everyone just go, what the fuck were they thinking when they wrote this?
Oh, man, what a fucking...
Huh.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for our patrons out there. We love you and appreciate you. Can do it without you. Christian, what's next?
Next is the Garb Gab, baby. Brum, 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 brum. Brum, brum, brum. As the keeper of the Garb Gab, I am here. And, you know, I'm so glad that you guys didn't record last week, because then you probably would have been stuck using some shitty something like the grab bag or whatever. Mm-hmm. So,
wow, yeah, so shitty. Right.
Now that I'm here, there's no need to fear. I have the Garb Gab, and... Justin, you're going to reach your hand in and you're going to pick out a snowball and read it.
Like straight up snow, or like the ice cream cones?
Like the ice cream thing. Like Ooh. A snow cone.
It's getting warm these days. I like that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Did you unwrap them?
Well, yeah.
Well, otherwise, yeah, it would be a mess everywhere, obviously.
You think unwrapping it would have made the mess?
It's just ease of access, so that you can take it out and immediately, you know, take a bite out of it. You know, there's no need to. I did half the work for you. Why are you complaining?
Well, I was expecting to just kind of grab a cone, not grab a pile of slush.
I mean, the cone's still there. You're wasting time. They're melting while you're discussing this. Go, just reach in and grab one.
All right. Well, you know, what flavor is this? Ooh, cherry. All right, where's the cone?
Classic.
Eeny, meeny, miny cone. We got ourselves some Vegapunk this week, baby.
Ooh, Vegapunk. Yeah, what are we Vegapunking?
Hell yeah. You know, that's a good idea. What should we Vegapunk? Let's just take a...
I forgot the rules for Vegapunk.
Is it not written on the cone?
I don't know. Is there something written on there, Justin?
We always do it this way. It's always written on the thing that we're Vegapunking.
Let me unwrap the cone. Because, you know, you only got half of the job done. Right. On the inside of the cone, or the wrapper, rather, it says a tuba.
Wait.
What?
So we're going to pick the best devil fruit for a tuba.
Yes. And I already know what I'm picking, because I'm about to rip off Fire Force, and I'm giving it the ice fruit, baby.
What? But, okay.
Go on.
What?
So, but I feel like you could just give it any element and it would be infinitely better. Like, why do you pick the ice one specifically?
You don't know
what I'm talking
about. You don't know Ball, all right? For all my homies out there who watch Fire Force and know Ball, there's a character from Squad 1. I unfortunately cannot remember his name, but his Fire Force universe power is based on actual science. I tried understanding it. It is high level shit. But essentially what this person is capable of doing is taking sound and then just, because it's a form of energy, converts it to fire or heat energy, and then does some other fucking scientific / magical mumbo jumbo, and can freeze shit with his instrument. It wasn't a tuba, it was something else. It was like a fucking French horn or something. But I thought that shit was cool as fuck, and this is the closest I'm gonna get to that without knowing any actual science.
Are all the fucking things in the Garb Gab load preloaded with this tuba Vegapunk? Is this like a Justin like vendetta? Are we just doing Justin's like OC right now?
Why am I getting blamed right now? I don't hold the bag. I didn't stuff it with snow cones, right?
All right, fine. Well, yeah, just,
I got a better one. Fine.
Yeah, what do you got?
The ton fruit.
But why?
Why?
But that just makes it annoying. So, you just make the tuba more bit. Annoying.
It gives it a good bit, at least.
Exactly.
My fucking God. You know, I'm going to do the slow beam, because I think that's an even better bit.
Was my second choice.
You do the fucking sound out of the
that's a trombone.
Yeah, but you do it with a tuba.
Yeah, you do it with a tuba, and then you go like right next to their fucking poor sad sacks. That's fucking gold right there. Although I feel like putting the slow beam on anything is just fucking fun, because I just want to be able to slow fuckers. I think
or
we
you could
the
do
pen.
The tremor fruit and hit that really deep bass note.
Oh,
and shake the planet.
Hold on, wait a minute. Now we're talking. Okay.
That's the real white noise.
Okay. I think,
right, like just hitting that deep foghorn noise with it.
I definitely think I want the tremor fruit on my fucking trombone. That's perfect. Actually,
tuba. Tuba.
Whatever. I want it on my tuba. Either way, it's the answer. I want that. That is what I need. I want to hit the brown note
now
with
just
my
picture
tuba.
Whitebeard carrying around a tuba.
Have you?
The One Piece is real.
How about this one? Have you seen the memes of the dude who's disassembled his tuba and is wearing it like armor?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm giving my tuba the jacket fruit.
Oh my god! Stop. You can't do this to me. Oh, that's incredible. Come on, man.
So fucking stupid.
It's
dude.
Incredible.
That's the dumbest fucking shit I've ever heard.
It's so funny to me.
I can't believe it's been like 3.4 fucking weeks since you've learned of the jacket for its existence, and you've already found a way to use it.
Yeah, look at that thing. Look at that guy. Although he has a couple of different tubas, but still.
Yes. This is great. I love this.
I hate that.
All I had to do was type in "parry this, you filthy casual."
I just typed in "tuba Dark Souls" and it came up.
I mean, it is pretty good.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Oh fuck, "tuba Dark Souls." I do kind of want that in my life.
This is great.
What was the keyboard faces guy? Name.
Oh,
imagine this guy versus the key.
Yeah,
Apu. Battle of the century with like fucking what's his name? Why am I blanking at everyone's name?
I feel like the actual answer to this would actually be the music fruit or whatever the fuck that Apu guy has, because that would probably just make the tuba.
Does Apu actually have a fruit?
Absolutely, he does.
Uh oh. Brendan probably did a spoil.
Okay, well, actually, no, I don't think that's true, because at once upon a time, we surmised that all of the long arm tribe people are like this with like the musical teeth and shit. And then that turned out to not be true.
Right.
So like, I think we did know this, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it hasn't been named, so I quote unquote put music next to it just to give us like fucking context to what it might be or whatever. But either whatever the fuck it is. It should be on this tuba because it clearly gives you a lot of fucking versatility.
What happens then? Like not like you just get to like you're playing your tuba and it sounds like an electric guitar. Like what's that?
Yeah, well, no, you play the tuba and then like you know you press your fingers on like the outer rims of it and all of a sudden you're playing the keys, man.
Or you just give tinnitus to everyone in a 10-mile radius.
Or like every time you like flick it, you're playing the drum or something like that. Like that'd be sweet. It's a versatile fucking instrument that way. It does everything.
All I'll say here is
the tremor the best.
I looked up the name of the fruit just to see what it was called, and the music name is way better when it's actually called. So I like that one better.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what the actual one is, but whatever.
It's just like, worse. That's all you need to know. Fruit.
Perfect. I'm glad to hear that. I really like Tremor though. That's a great fucking idea. I think even though I want to give it whatever Apu's fruit is, I think we should give it the Whitebeard fruit because that would be way fucking funnier.
I hear you.
I'm just picturing this image as Whitebeard. Like put this on Whitebeard, like not obviously covering his whole head, but like that's his hat now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I hear you, but I look at this image and I just really think that Christian nailed it with the jacket
Then all right, fine.
We I mean,
there's not a winner here. We could all be winners. It's like
we cooked this week. That's incredible. I love.
Did we cook this week?
Oh, absolutely.
We can pull a Blackbeard and give them both.
Again, there's not like we're not like picking one. We're just cooking.
But imagine, Christian, if you could wear it and then you just have the booming earthquake. Imagine this guy shooting earthquakes at you. How fucking rad would that be?
He's gonna pierce the heavens with his song.
Oh,
it's a real shame that this is an audio-based platform and no one knows what the fuck we're talking about.
Well, we'll post an image somewhere.
We already told them what the Google search. It's fine.
Holy shit, that'd be amazing. I'd love to see that.
All right. I'm satisfied.
Devin, take us out by doing the thing.
Oh, fuck. You sure you want me to do this?
There's no reading this time.
You're here.
Right. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Panda Sightings. You can send us questions at pandasightings@gmail.com. And if you want to financially support us, you can go to either our Patreon or our Redbubble and do the little linky thingy down below. We also have a Discord that you could join and, you know, see Tuba Man in the flesh. there's another one in there. I know I'm supposed to remember.